Good afternoon. This week we prepare for Parshas Tetzaveh as well as Parshas Zohar. We have the opportunity to be mekayim a mitzvah min haTorah, a mitzvah from the Torah, to remember Zechiras Amalek, to remember what Amalek did, and our responsibility in the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek, of wiping out Amalek. Beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, the Torah tells us about the shemen for the menorah. Yatot Tetzaveh, Reisho Vikhu Elecha, Shemen Zayi Zach Kasis Lamaor, Lahalos Ner Tamir, should take for you the Shemen Zayis, the pure oil that should be used for the menorah. Rav Shermuch notes that the Elecha, that you specifically, it has to go to Moshe Rabbeinu Velo Li, it has to go specifically to Moshe Rabbeinu and to nobody else. He explains al derech haremez that the neiros of the menorah, the ner mitzvah Torah, or the light of the menorah, is symbolic of the Torah. And the Torah wants to remind us that whenever you're bringing the shemen has to go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Whenever you're involved in limud haTorah, it has to be part of the shalshalos hamesorah. It has to be part of the chain which connects back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And we can add to the Torah in terms of being mechadish, new things, but it has to be that it's not standing on its own. It has to be that it relates back. It has to be that it relates back to what Moshe Rabbeinu had taught. That it has to be Kabbalah ish mi pi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. It goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's the shemen for the Alakas Haneros. That the shemen has to go back specifically to Moshe Rabbeinu, because when it comes to the ability of the Torah to weather and to survive and to uplift us throughout the generations, it's only because it makes us stronger, because we build upon what came before us. If we're trying to create new things and adjust to the times, but in a way which is not being loyal and faithful to our Mesorah, to the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was given, then it can't stand on its own. That's perhaps a message which is hidden away at the beginning of the parsha. There's a Medrash Tanchuma at the beginning of the parasha which seems very difficult. I don't really have a good answer for it, but something that's worth thinking about. The Medrash Tanchuma says, Amar Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, Rabbi Chanina, who was the assistant to the Kohen Gadol, he said, Maisen Nisim Hayav Menorah. There was something miraculous about the menorah. Mishahayu Malikin Osa B'Rosh Hashanah Lo Hayam Mischaba Ad Shana Acheres. That when they would light the menorah on Rosh Hashanah, it would last the entire year. It wouldn't go out until Ad Shana Acheres. The Reb Chaim Brisker was very bothered by this. He said, I don't understand. The Torah tells us that there's a mitzvah to say, there's a positive commandment to light the menorah each and every day. And if you just leave it lit over the course of the entire year, yes, it's lit, but it doesn't mean that we were mekayim the mitzvah. There's a specific mitzvah for us to light the menorah, for the Kohen to light the menorah. So through this miracle, we're being mevatel the mitzvah. We're losing out on the opportunity to the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do. So one of the Ger Rebbe suggested that we know that on Shabbos, if a person adds shemen, adds oil to a candle, then he violates the malacha of mavir. It's considered to be as if you lit the fire. By adding fuel to the fire, that's considered to be as if you lit the fire. So he said perhaps the same thing here also, that they let it remain lit, but they would make sure to add to the menorah, to the oil, each and every day. By adding to it each and every day, that in and of itself would be a key and would be a fulfillment of the lighting of the lighting of the menorah. The difficulty, however, is that there's another mitzvah which remains in terms of the menorah, which is the mitzvah of dishon hamenorah, the mitzvah of each day of cleaning out the menorah before preparing it, and hatava, preparing it for the next day. That mitzvah, L'chora, is lacking. So as great as this miracle is, it's difficult to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give us the mitzvah, but then the opportunity to do it would be lost through the nisim. So it's archian, something perhaps to think about. More generally, in terms of this week's parsha, so it's filled with details, so many psukim with details of the various big day kahunam, the garments, the eight special garments that the Kohen Gadol would wear. And the Akedah Yitzchak of Yitzchak Armon, his Perush, says that it has to be that if we examine it more closely, that there are deeper lessons in all this. The Torah wouldn't lay out so much detail for us if it wouldn't be that we're supposed to try and understand them. So look at one of the garments and try to see if there's perhaps a lesson which can emerge. One of the big day kahuna was the tzitz. What was the tzitz? There are three psukim in the parasha the Torah teaches about the tzitz. It was made from gold and worn on the Kohen Gadol's forehead. And the words, Kodesh Lashem, were engraved upon it. What was the purpose of the tzitz? The Torah tells us, V'nasa es avona kodashim. It had the unique role of actually atoning for any sins that related to the korbanos. For korbanos that were brought b'tumah, then the tzitz would be that which is meratzah, that which brings kapar. But the Gemara tells us that that's not the only thing. The Gemara in Tzvachim says that each of the garments of the Kohen Gadol also atoned for a specific sin. And the tzitz was for the sin of azus panim, of brazenness. How do we know this? Because it says meitzach by the tzitz, and it says meitzach, farim, when it comes to azus meitzach, the brazenness of the brazenness of the farim. What's the connection between the two? You know, linguistically, the Gemara has associated it, but what does it more fundamentally reflect on? The Torah says, when it comes to the tzitz, v'yom etzko tamid ratzon lifnei Hashem, the tzitz has to be on his head always in order to find grace, ratzon, in front of Hashem. What does it mean? What does it mean, tamid? What does it mean, constantly? He can't take a shower? When is he supposed to? Obviously, he only wears it in the mikdash when he's doing the avodah. So what is he being told that he needs to wear it? Why is it different than any of the other garments that this one says tamid? So the Gemara in Yumek says that the Kohen Gadol is being warned that he needs to have hesech hadas. He always has to be cognizant of the fact that he's wearing the tzitz. When he has it on, he has to be aware that he has it on. Okay, so that seems very straightforward. No? So the answer is no, it's not. If you think about it, the Kohen Gadol is a great Talmud Chacham. The Kohen Gadol is above everybody else. That the is this, you know, special person in the Beis HaMikdash. He's constantly seeing miracles. How is it possible that he would not be aware that he's in the Mikdash, that he's not aware that he's wearing the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his forehead? So Gemara says that we learn from the tzitz that just like the Kohen Gadol can't be Mesiach his das, he can't forget, so too we can't be Mesiach das, we can't forget when we're wearing tefillin. So, now, think about it. I don't know, those who have wear tefillin, sometimes we maybe do forget that wearing tefillin. If you tell it to a bar mitzvah boy, you know, are you ever going to forget why you're wearing tefillin? No, the excitement would be there, and he would say, for sure not. So I think in that perhaps lies the answer, and that it is possible to forget, because whenever we constantly and consistently encounter something, even if it's very special, we run the risk of forgetting how special that thing is. And in the context of mitzvot in general, we have the opportunities in context of family. When we have some things that are very special to us, sometimes we get used to it, and sometimes we forget about it. And yes, even the Kohen Gadol has to avoid becoming bored and apathetic. So when does the potential for Azaz Panim, for being brazen, arise? When a person feels there's nothing special. When you realize that you don't have to, there's nothing special going on here now. And, you know, Amalek, we read in Parshas Zachar, is the paradigm of brazenness. They showed no fear of God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi explains that they jumped into that bath. There was nothing stopping them from cooling it down. So in a certain sense, the tzitz is the antithesis of azus. The tzitz was the vehicle through which the Kohen was told that he always needs to be aware that it's there and that the mitzvah is special. You're in the mikdash. You have to be aware that you're in the mikdash. You have to have that passion and that vigor to always make sure that you're in that you realize that you're in the context of a mitzvah. So that's why it's the tzitz, the Gemara tells us, that atones for the sin of azus, for being brazen. And if we understand this, and maybe we can understand one other thing, one other mystery, which is a mishnah in Pirkei Avos. In the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, Yehuda ben Tema talks about how terrible Azus Panim is. And he says, Az Panim le Gehenim. The person who's brazen is going to end up going to Gehenim. And then the mishnah ends off and it says, Yehi ratzom lefanecha sheibana beis hamikdash mehir v'yamein v'sinech lakenim v'sarasecha. Right, well, the same thing we say at the end of Shimon Nasi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring back the Beis HaMikdash soon, and we should be able to get our portion in Torah. And everybody's bothered. Why suddenly here, in the fifth parak of Avos, is there a tefillah inserted? We don't usually find a tefillah, Yiratzon, incorporated into the Mishnah. So why did Yehuda ben Tema incorporate this into the Mishnah here? So now maybe we can understand that Yehuda ben Tema is teaching us that Azus is a terrible road to travel on. So he has to, therefore he concludes the tefillah for the Beis HaMikdash, because when we have the Beis HaMikdash, we'll once again have the tzitz. And the role of the tzitz is that reminder of combating the getting used to things. Because when you're used to things, that's when the azos comes, that's when the brazenness comes, because it's not special anymore. I don't appreciate the value of it. So Yehuda ben Tema says, what is going to be the key to avoiding the azos panim, this brazenness and this terrible midah? Is having the Beis HaMikdash. Because when we have the Beis HaMikdash, we'll once again have the tzitz and the specialness of the mitzvot and the opportunities they bring us will be there. And that's perhaps why, specifically in this case, he's highlighting that connection that we see in our parsha, that between the tzitz and the azus, and what the Gemara tells us, that the tzitz is there not only to be mechaper for Avon HaKadoshim, but also on the azus. But it tells us also the lesson of not being misiach from a tefillah, not forgetting that when we're involved in tefillah, but not just tefillah, not forgetting the special opportunity that we have to be involved in mitzvot. This coming week in Mirtzah Hashem, we have the opportunity to have Purim. And on Purim is one of those days where we would think, you know, how could I forget that it's Purim? How can I forget that it's special? But you know what? Sometimes in the excitement of the moment, we forget what it's about. And then it's a day of trying to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of inspiring ourselves through this different type of joy. It's a joy that we don't normally experience. It's v'napuchu. There's different elements to it. We dress up. It's a more external simcha, but that external simcha is ultimately has to be geared towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Bezes Hashem. That the Purim of this coming week, when we celebrate Geula, will usher in the Geula of the days that follow in Nisan, b'Nisan Nigalu, b'Nisan Masidun, Higal. And we'll have that Beis HaMikdash, which will remind us about this lesson, this fundamental lesson about Azus. Just to conclude with a trivia question, there is one unit of measurement that appears in this week's parsha that does not appear anywhere else in the Torah. We have different types of shiurim, of different types of units used for measurements. There's one unit of measurement used only in this week's parsha when it comes to one item. What is that? Wishing everybody a Freilich and Purim, a good Shabbos, and to be a very inspiring week ahead.